Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, don't miss a second of the action as the Preds face the Arizona Coyotes in Game 2 tomorrow. Watch party viewing destinations include Burger Republic and Party Foul. Stop by Burger Republic in Lenox Village or Mount Juliet and enjoy the Force Burger for a limited time and $4 Happen Harry's Pints. Party Foul locations are at the Cool Springs Galleria in Franklin, in Murfreesboro off of Broad Street, in Donelson off of Lebanon Pike, and downtown in the Gulch. Tomorrow at Party Foul, it's also a special all-day happy hour. So be sure to wear your gold and bring the noise to root on the Preds. Puck drop at 1:30. Party Foul and Burger Republic will be following social distancing guidelines while you watch the game, so keep that in mind. Welcome back into Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic. And we're talking Preds and Coyotes Game 1. To help us do a little bit more of that, we bring in our good friend Darren McFarland from Darren, Donick, and Chase. Darren, what's going on, my friend?
Thank goodness you're done with that read. I was getting hungry.
I know, right? You got me pretty hungry, too.
Yeah, those places are good if you've never been there. Party Foul and Burger Republic is really good, even for breakfast. I mean, I would do it for breakfast.
I mean, there's really not a time of the day where I wouldn't do it.
I'm with you on that. How's everything going?
It's good, my man, and we're just kind of talking hockey today here on the show and the reaction to the disappointing Game 1 loss to the Predators. And, Darren, when you watched that game and kind of have thought about it since then, what stands out to you about their Game 1 loss?
A little disappointing in some of the things that we talked about, Robbie, all season, and you know that because we truly did. The bad patches and look, we all knew coming back from a 4-plus-month break around the league was going to be unpredictable. It was going to be look at the Game 1s. I mean, I was all over all those Game 1s this weekend. Oh, wait a minute. I don't know if I predicted a Game 1 correctly. I mean, that's just the way it went, right? I mean, everybody saw Montreal beating Pittsburgh, right? Everybody saw Columbus beating Toronto. Everybody saw Minnesota shutting out Vancouver. Everybody saw what took place on Saturday. I mean, Blackhawks just dominating Edmonton. Those were so easy to predict, right? I mean, of course. I think when we get back to the Predators and the Coyotes, the thing that jumped out at me is just something that we talked about when they had Peter Laviolette on the bench and now John Hines on the bench, and it's those bad patches. And they just seem to, and even though they were playing well under John Hines, their record with the 28 games under John Hines was very good. But for what, 16-11-1, I think was the exact record under John Hines going into that game. It seemed like they're going in the right direction, but they still haven't been able to shake like that 8-minute window. And we've done this all year with this team, and unfortunately they've come back from the break, and it was that 8-minute window in the first period that did them in. And maybe you would say, well, it was the Michael Grabner shorthanded goal late in the second period that maybe that did them in, and I would say, okay, that's fine. That was just a bad play by a really, really good and important player by the Predators, and he admitted that after the game. I mean, good for Philip Forsberg. I mean, he just said, I can't do that. I mean, that's just not a play I can do, and you can't do that in the playoffs. You can do that pass in game 37 of the regular season. You can't do it in the playoffs. And, of course, Philip Forsberg, minus that play, had a really good game. But what stood out to me, Robbie, is they've got to figure out a way to get out of those bad patches. I talk about this with my youth baseball team. They're 8 years old. Like, bad patches, you have to avoid bad patches. You lose games with bad patches. You've got to figure out a way to dig out of that hole once something like this starts collapsing around you. Settle down and dig out of it. You're fine. Don't panic. Don't freak out. And it's that 8-minute stretch in the first period where I thought they were playing well until they had the fluky goal. And then after the fluky goal, the next 7 minutes, it was like what we've seen all year long in those stretches.
So we were talking about this earlier, Darren, when you are in those moments, you know, do you look at leadership, Roman Josi, just veterans on the team, John Hines, who helps them get out of these ruts and avoid these ruts?
Joe, I've honestly spent a lot of time thinking about all this stuff, and you're going, are you really, you're going to go back to youth baseball again? I do this because I coach my son's team. I'm the head coach, and these are eight-year-olds. But I talk to a lot of players and former players and coaches and former coaches, like the psychology part. Like, I want to know, can you coach that? Can you teach that? Or is that just in your DNA? And I know there's people with eye rolls right now shaking their head like, really? Are you I'm fascinated by the subject because I want to know. You're asking the question that I want to know. I want to know, can this be coached out of? Can you coach them out of that? Or is this just truly the makeup of certain guys and it's in their DNA and for whatever reason, you can't coach that out of them? They're just certain players, certain guys' mindsets that you have to have a certain mentality when things start collapsing around you, that there are certain people that are wired away, that they just know how to dig themselves out of it. They don't panic. They don't freak out. And they tighten up, and they know how to get out of it. And there are other people that don't know how. And I don't know what the right answer is. I promise you, I've been talking to a lot of people trying to figure out whether it's an eight-year-old or a professional athlete. When you get in those spots, can they be coached out of that, or is that just their makeup? And right now, through all the people that I've talked to, there are some at a younger that believe the younger kids at the younger levels, they can be coached out of that. But I kind of feel like as many people as I talk to, the older you get and the more, you know, experience that you have, it's how you're wired. And you can't be coached out of that. So right now, I'm leaning, without knowing the answer, I'm leaning towards it's just the certain makeup of certain guys that don't know how to get out of those situations. And a new coach is not going to change that, as we've seen. A coaching change did not change that. So right now I'm leaning towards when you get in those stretches, there are just certain guys that don't know how to get out of those stretches.
Darren McFarland, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the line with us. And Darren, look, I mean, this conversation is going to continue to come up. And if you followed me on Twitter yesterday, I had a pretty clear and consistent theme, whether it was defensively, letting Dvorak and Clayton Keller just sit there in the hard areas, or offensively, not putting your shoulder down and getting to the middle of the ice and playing the way you have to play in playoff hockey. And I'm not even talking just physically, mainly mentally, too, is what I'm getting at here. You know, we saw these problems crop up last year with the Stars series, and the Stars were able to push the Preds around and keep them to the outside. They didn't really have an answer for that. At times, didn't have an answer for that for Arizona yesterday either. When you look at this roster, are they made for playoff hockey? Is this core group made for the style that you have to play in playoff hockey to be successful?
Well, I think it's a fair question. It's a question that I'm not prepared to answer after game one, because I know there's a lot of people, because we've all seen it, right? The three of us are on social media, and there are just certain fans, the minute they lose, it doesn't matter what spot it is, oh my gosh. And by the way, they're wired like that. That's exactly how some fans are wired, and on social media, that's what you would not want on your team, because they don't know how to handle bad spots. Okay, we know what they do. They freak out. And it's like, oh, my gosh, it's over. Oh, this series is over. They're going to get pushed around. It's going to be just like last year. We've seen all those, right? We've seen all those tweets. We've seen all that stuff on social media. That's where you don't want to be. I'm not going to – and we've already seen people hit the panic button and already freak out after one game. I'm not going to do that. I mean, I think it's only fair to have that conversation to see how this qualifying round plays out, how this postseason plays out, because I think it's a fair question if it's short-lived, because clearly something's off. Something's not working. They're not getting the results at this level with a very talented team and a very experienced team. They are the second oldest team in the playoffs. All the teams that went to the Hub Cities in Edmonton and Toronto, they're the second oldest team. So they are a veteran team. They've been through all of this. They've been through all the playoffs. It's fair to then ask, do they have the right makeup? Is this the group that can all of a sudden finally get back to where they need to be? But I'm not gonna answer that after a game one loss. I'm not gonna freak out like just what we just talked about. I'm not gonna have a bad patch over one game. But you know, I think what concerns me and jumps out is, with that being said, a team that's been through all this, and I get it, there were a lot of penalties called over the weekend. If you watch the games, there were a lot of power plays and a lot of teams killing off penalties. And the Predators were no different. I think there's no doubt they're going to have to stay out of the box. You can't play catch-up and kill off penalties. It's not a good combo. In fact, it's a really bad combo. And I thought there were some penalties that they could do without. I understand some of this sloppy play is just the circumstances that everybody's been in for the last four-plus months. But they're going to have to be more disciplined. And I know they talked about it afterwards, but that's words. Now they're going to have to give actions starting tomorrow afternoon, and they're going to have to stay out of the box more, because you can't get behind and kill off penalties. You're just not going to come back and win those games. It's too difficult to do. And I thought they did a good job of killing off penalties, but penalties concerned me a lot yesterday too.
You know, speaking of social media, Darren, at some point, I think it was, you know, third period, I looked at Twitter and the word Pekka was trending locally. So there was a lot of, you know, immediately, no matter what happens, goals go in, then that, change the goalie.
Yep.
What did you think of Saros? And what do you think, now that we know one result, we're going to see with the back-to-back?
I'm not so – I think a lot of people think it's a foregone conclusion that, you know, we'll see both goalies in the back-to-back just because it's a back-to-back. I'm not so sure about that. I don't blame UC Saros. And by the way, it's the biggest, it's the easiest low-hanging fruit there is, right? The minute something goes wrong, oh, change the goalies and what? Everything's fixed, right? Like, that's how it always works. Like, did you see the goals? Do you blame UC Saros? I'm not going to – the first goal, give me a break. It doesn't matter what, you know, elite goaltender is in it. It's just one of those fluky plays that happens in hockey. By the way, the Predators were – got to take advantage of a fluky play. Fluky plays happen in hockey games, and you don't blame the goalie for a fluky play. Do you blame the goalie for a breakaway? I mean, it's a breakaway. To me, breakaways are 50-50. I'm not going to hang a breakaway on a goaltender. So that's half the goals right there. The other two, how about the play in front? I mean, Arizona was dictating everything they wanted to do in the slot and around the blue ice. I mean, at some point, somebody's got to put a body on somebody and get them out of the slot and get them out of the crease, right? You got to get them out of there. And they were all – Arizona, look at those goals. Where, you know, those were high-danger areas. I mean, you can't have that. So I'm not blaming that on UC Saros. Was this his greatest game ever? No, but, I mean, I'm not blaming that on UC Saros. So if UC Saros starts – by the way, and what an unbelievable run for Pekka, right? 89 consecutive playoff games. It's just weird not to see 35 in between the pipes for a Predators playoff game. But if the Predators come out and respond like everybody expects them to do tomorrow afternoon, and they just take it to Arizona and skate away with a 4-1 victory or a 3-0 shutout, are you going to Pekka on Wednesday? Are you coming back with UC Saros? I mean, John Hines has already proven. Look at the Dallas games, right? The home and home with Dallas. Two of their three wins at the end before the pause, the two games before the game in Montreal, you would expect a home and home with a division foe like Dallas did. It would be one goalie one game, the other goalie the other game. The Predators didn't do that. UC Saros played both games and pitched shutouts in both games. So I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that they go to Pekka in one of these games. Could it happen? Sure. But I don't think it's like, well, it's back-to-back, so one goalie's going to play one game and the other's going to play the other. I don't see that. I think a lot will determine on how Tuesday looks. Could he go to Pekka to start tomorrow's game? Sure. I don't think he will. I don't hang that on UC Saros. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I'm not willing to go there. I don't believe that was 74's fault.
Yeah, I agree.
I think we feel the same way. Darren McFarland, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase, has been our guest here on Morning Drive. You can catch him each weekday from 10 to 2 right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren, thanks for joining us, my friend. We appreciate it.
Robbie, Joe, have a great rest of your show, man. Thanks.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll dive into some of our takeaways from the weekend of live sports in the NBA, the NHL, and Major League Baseball. That's next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.